So before vacation, we were going through the I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John. There are officially seven of them, and I think I shared the last time a few weeks ago that these seven are chosen because there's a predicate noun that goes with them. I am something was followed that. And so this is the seventh one we're going to have today. But I have a special I am that we're going to do next Sunday that doesn't involve a predicate noun, but certainly still involves Jesus and some words he shared with some folks. But we're going to finish the seventh of the official I am statements with that predicate noun. But just a reminder, we talked about the bread and the light, the gate or the door, depending on the translation that you have, the shepherd, the resurrection and life, the way, truth, and life. And then our final predicate today is, I am the vine. So would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. We find here in the Gospel of John, and we can see some of it in some of the other Gospels, but Jesus has been trying to reassure his disciples that even though he has shared with them that he needs to die and that he needs to go on, he's reassuring them here, and we find that a couple places here in the Gospel of John. He did that at the beginning of chapter 14. It was our scripture a few weeks ago as it ended there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he was reassuring his disciples, it's going to be okay. And we find that in our scripture today, that he's reminding them it's going to be okay. And he gives them a metaphor to think about. We find them using the vine here, but you know, in the Mediterranean world, back in Jesus' time and even before, there were three very familiar trees, the olive and the fig and the grapevine. Those three, and when you think about Scripture in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, you hear a lot about olive and the olive tree and the fig tree and about the grapevine. Even with the metaphor of the vine, we see that used in the Old Testament. It's used of Israel in bad ways and good ways. It's used about Israel and being the vine. We find in Proverbs that wisdom is like a vine. So this idea and this metaphor of the vine is not new to the disciples. It could have been something that there is historical reference to the golden vine at the temple. Some say, well, maybe Jesus was thinking of that. Whatever it is, Jesus knew they would be familiar with this metaphor, and it was a way of him reassuring them everything's going to be okay, as he is sharing with them that he is the full vine, and all these branches get their life from him. We see everything at work here in our scripture this morning. We don't just only see the vine, we see the branches, and we see the gardener, who is God the Father. And God the Father is connected to all of us through Jesus. The gardener is connected to the branches because of the vine. And so Jesus, again, is reassuring his disciples, and it is reassuring scripture for us today that everything's going to be okay because Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, one of the things as we think about the vine, and we see in our scripture today that it's obvious that you and I, or the church, are the branches. And the thing about branches is that all their life and sustenance comes from the vine. If the branch wants to be alive, if the branch wants to bear fruit, it's got to be attached to the vine so that the branches can receive what's coming from the vine. Spiritually, in biblical context, we are grafted in. We're cut off, and when we come to the Lord, we are cut off from the vine of sin and from Adam, and we are grafted into Jesus being our Savior. We're grafted into this vine that Jesus says, I am the vine. We're grafted into that, and we now begin to receive all of our life and our sustenance from Him. And the thing, and so we receive, the branches receive all of this from the vine. One of the things that I ran across in preparing for today was in one of the study tools that I had. It came across this little saying: the life of the branch then is a life of continual appropriation. The call of the vine to the branch is to take, take, take. You ever think about that? Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and I want you to have what I have to, what I have to offer you. I want you to take. It's there for you to take, to take, to take, because I want you to produce fruit. The only way the branches can produce fruit is to have that connection to the vine and to take whatever the vine is willing to give. And Jesus says, I'm willing to give it. I am the vine. You are the branches. The gardener wants some fruit bearing to happen. And you can do that. You will bear much fruit as you're connected to me. We just need to keep allowing the vine to nourish us so that we can bear that fruit. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, he says that the fruit of the Spirit is certainly part of that Spirit. It's part of the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. There in Galatians it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we get all of that from being connected to the vine. Now, some of them may be a little more dominant than others in our lives. Some have said that may be just the way our personalities are, or we may choose to ignore a few of them when we're not supposed to, but we may do that at times. But they all come from the Holy Spirit, who we know in other studies that we've done together and sharing is Jesus, who is God. And so this fruit of the Spirit is coming from the vine. And the neat thing we need to be careful about, and I know I need to be careful about, is we know those the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and you know, some of us can sing songs about it, or we just know them by memory, and yet all too often we try too hard to do those things on our own. I just need to love more, or I need to have more peace, or I need to be kinder, or boy, I got to really work at being faithful, or I need to be more gentle. And we think we got to work on that, and we forget that it's not up to us to try to figure that out. Jesus says, I am the vine. Connect to me, and you'll get what you need to bear the fruit. You want to bear the fruit of the Spirit? You connect to the vine. I don't have to figure out how to love. The love comes from the vine. And then when I get it from the vine, I can bear that fruit. I can bear joy. I can share peace. And I can be kind. And I can be good. And I can be faithful. Not because Rick Bertram did something heroic. It's because I'm connected to the vine. And the vine is where I get the fruit that I need to bear. Does that make sense? The branches receive what they need. And while it may demonstrate itself because of our personalities in different ways, the fruit has a little bit of different flavor along the way. It's still connected to the same vine. And it still gets all that it needs from the vine. The branch can't produce that on its own. It must receive it from the vine. Now, another thing Jesus is sharing here with his disciples, and certainly as we have come to him as Lord and Savior, we become his disciples as well. But he's speaking with those original here in our text today. But it's good for us as well. And he's talking about remaining or abiding in him and he in us. I remember when I first heard this scripture as a little kid, It would have been the old King James, and when I mean older King James, I mean with the eth and the, you know, so abideth in him, right? All who abideth in him, and you abideth in, and you start trying to read that fast, that was, for a little kid, that was, boy, there was too much abideth going on, you know? But Jesus repeats himself so often, just in our scripture today, it's very important for us to realize he wants us connected. He says, remain in me and I in you, and we'll have this connection that we need. And as disciples then, that means that we need to be following him. That's what disciples do. They follow the one that they're disciples of. We need to walk in his footprints and in his footsteps. And bearing fruit shows that we are walking in those footsteps. There's implication to what that discipleship means for us. First, we need to be ready to sit at his feet. Many of us remember Mary and Martha, two sisters. When Jesus was visiting their home, one of the sisters was at Jesus' feet, listening to every word he had to say. The other sister was in the kitchen. Sister in the kitchen was getting upset at the sister out there. Hey, what's going on here? We got stuff to do. And Jesus said, she's doing the better thing. She's sitting at my feet. We need to sit at his feet. It's what we're doing here today. I hope you didn't come to hear a preacher preach. I hope you came to worship at the feet of our Lord and Savior. Now you get some preaching along with that. We get some singing along with that. We get some communion along with that. We get to see, right now we see each other's eyes, and we assume there's great faces behind that. That's all benefit. But the main purpose of coming together to worship is to sit at his feet. It's not to watch what's going on up here. It's for all of us to come before God that we're worshiping. That's part of discipleship, to be ready to sit at his feet. And not only to sit at his feet, but have a willingness to believe what he says. This isn't, I'll choose what I like and what I don't like. When we're disciples, we believe what the one we follow tells us. We understand it's hard to implement sometimes. It's hard to... Now, how does that match up with my life? How does that work in the circumstances I'm in? And we need guidance and direction from that. I understand that. But we have to have willingness to believe his words. And a third implication that we find in our scripture and beyond what we read today is that we are to love one another. Jesus calls on his disciples to do that. He calls on his church to do that. He calls on all of us to demonstrate the fruit that we have, that we're bearing from the connection to the vine in the way that we love one another. I'm always reminded whenever I think of that, I'm reminded of that song more. It's not as contemporary as it used to be because, you know, I'm getting older. This song I heard when I was a kid. So if I heard it as a kid, is it still contemporary at 60 years old? I'm not sure how that works. Where's the line on that? Anyway, compared to, centuries ago, it's still contemporary. But, you know, they will know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are disciples by our love. They'll know we're followers of Christ by our love. They'll know we're connected to the vine, Jesus, who says, I am the vine. They'll know we're connected by our love. But not only do we, as branches, receive and as disciples we follow, but as friends we commune. We're more than servants. Jesus speaks to that just a little later on from the scripture that we read as our opening today. But in verses 14 and 15, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. As we walk with Christ, as we're connected to the vine, as we follow him as disciples, we know and understand that there is more than just what the world affords us. There's so much more to what's going on than what the world will tell us is going on. We know that because we're friends with Jesus. We're friends with God. And that's just not me saying that. It's Jesus saying, you are my friends if you do what I command. Another thing I ran across in one of my resources, it's a little dated, and that's okay. I think most of us will understand what it says. Servants have kitchen privileges, but friends have parlor opportunities. I don't think any of us have parlors anymore, since that sort of dates it. Right? And I had to correct the spelling because I think it was a British or UK, from the UK, because it was parlor with O-U-R. And I think that's how they spell it over there. But wherever you invite friends to come and spend the evening with you, that's your parlor. And that might be your kitchen nowadays. See, that's how old it is. Nowadays, I know in our family, Sherry's noticed everybody's just sitting around or staying around in the kitchen as we're doing things. You know, it's in, you know, we could go somewhere where there's softer chairs to sit on. But wherever it is you tend to be intimate, that's where Jesus wants us. We're not servants to come in the back door and do whatever servants do out of sight and only come out when they need to serve. We're brought in the front door. Here's the nice chair. Have a seat. Let's spend some time together. Let's commune as friends. That's what Jesus was doing at the table with his disciples. He's having a meal together, an intimate time. And here he's sharing about how we're friends. We walk in the world not as servants of Jesus Christ, but as his friends. We learn each day more about the secret of life and peace now and for eternity. We don't, I don't think any of us know that right away. I'm still learning. I'm still growing in that area. And I pray that each of you are as well. That we just know more about our friend Jesus as we spend more time with him. And as we spend time with him, as we would even our human friends, but as we spend time with Jesus, we begin to share in his likes and his dislikes. And so that as we walk, it's like, whew, my friend Jesus wouldn't like that. I don't think I'll do that. Or we see a need that comes right in front of us. You know, my friend Jesus, he would do something about that. I think I'm going to take care of that. We begin to spend so much time with him that we know his likes and his dislikes. We might even find ourselves suffering because the world sees us as a friend of Jesus. And oh, you're one of those Jesus people. And that's okay. It's okay. Jesus, in other scripture later, he says it's all right to suffer on my account. You see, the biggest problem is two things. One of them I didn't even have in my notes, but one, Satan doesn't want us to have that kind of friendship with Jesus. And two, I don't want to put it all on Satan. Sometimes our ego doesn't want that kind of intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We feel better if, and I know Satan feels this way, but sometimes we feel better. I'd rather just have this list of do's and don'ts. I want to know how to avoid the lightning striking me from heaven. To try to just avoid getting struck by lightning, that's not the kind of friendship Jesus is saying and sharing with his disciples. He wants a friendship that, come on, Jesus, I'm heading down the road. Come with me. Let's go. We need to spend time with him. We might find ourselves suffering in certain areas of the world because they see that Jesus is our friend. And that's okay. We need to still live a life in front of them that says, you know what? He wants to be your friend too. Come on. He's not what you think he is. We need to be bearing that fruit that comes by being connected to the vine. And who is the vine? Jesus says, I am the vine. Verse 5 in our scripture today is probably the one that impacts me the most personally as we think about this metaphor of the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He's repeating himself from verse 1. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you abideth in me, and I remain in you. If I abide in you. We have that connection. Jesus says, you will bear fruit. You won't be able to help it. But a little bit of warning at the end of that. Apart from me, you can do something. Is that what it says? No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we want to bear fruit, we have to be connected to the vine. And Jesus says, I am the vine.